Sri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Balapeyat Anugrahat Tarinana Matagraha Vyaptin Siddham Tashagaram. Translation. I offer my obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusive truth, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. We certainly live in a time when speculation is very predominant. We're living in a time where everyone has his own idea about the truth, and thus the amounts of crocodiles have by far increased from the times when Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote this verse. Now the ocean is filled with crocodiles everywhere. There is so much misinformation. Newspapers, magazines, instant information on your cell phone, constant bombardment with advertisement and screens, huge video screens everywhere. If we go to New York, to Times Square, it is anything that is the closest to an LSD experience that I've ever seen. Because they have these big electronic screens on the sides of all the buildings, and it's moving in unlimited colors. Thus, we live in a world which is far removed from sanity. And therefore, it is so easy to become swept up, to become swallowed by all these various distractions. But it's said that by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusive truth. A child is weak, so here is a symbol of a weak person, someone who doesn't have any strength, really. An adult at least is stronger. Of course, an adult has no chance to swim across an ocean. What to speak a child? So we have no chance. And thus, the success in this process is entirely dependent on mercy. One might ask, could you, in a few words, sum up the essence of initiation? And one could say many things. But if I would have to sum it up in a few words, I would say, always take shelter. Always take shelter. Shelter is ample. There are devotees. There is a temple. There is prasadam. There, and prasadam only. There is the holy name. There are Srila Prabhupada's books. The deity, so many things. We can take shelter. But somehow or other, we don't. We become distracted. Distractions are many. And it is amazing how many things can preoccupy our minds. These are the crocodiles, actually, that preoccupy our minds and consciousness. And somehow or other, Krishna is there, but in the background. And we... yes, we want, but so little time. Little time for spiritual matters. Those are the ones that are squeezed. Other ones, oceans of time for material activity. And so little time for spiritual activity. This is the symptom of the circumstances that surround us today. So it is a practice in... at the time of a sacrifice, if you do an elaborate one, not a 15-minute one, then you start with Jambudvipe. Right? You begin to explain that on the island of Jambudvip. In other words, you are beginning to speak from the circumstances where we are. Well, this is where we are, in an ocean of crocodiles. And thus, one must make time for Krishna. That is the secret. To somehow or other make time for spiritual activities. To simply put other things aside. And to minimize one's needs so that there is time. The next verse I'll also read. Krishna kirtana gana narte nakala pato jani brajita sad bhakti vali hamsa chakra madupa shreni viharas padam karna nandi kala dvanir varhatu mejiva maru pragane shi chaitanya dayani di tavala sa lila suda swarduni. Translation. O my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarian Ganges water of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Yes, desert-like, dry. For long, we have not satisfied our heart's desire. For long, we have been hungry. For long, we have been thirsty. For long, we have been seeking and never satisfied. We have become restless, looking here and there, and it is hard to fix the mind. The mind is everywhere, looking for things out of habit, even when we have the right thing. Still, the mind is wandering. Amazing enough. Because for so many lifetimes, we have been looking here and there, and this wasn't satisfying, that wasn't satisfying, this wasn't fulfilling, that wasn't fulfilling. There must be more, and we looked for more. Then when we come to Krishna consciousness, we look for more. Thus, it is said that one of the five types of ignorance that is destroyed by this Sankirtan movement is the sense that there is more than Krishna consciousness. But actually, this Krishna consciousness is the essence. It is said, the nectarian Ganges water of the Lord's transcendental activities flow on the surface of our desert-like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. So in the river of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is endless. These pastimes are very great and deep. Who can understand them? But within this river, there are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name. And those are the pleasure abodes of the devotees. We cannot fully understand the depth of the Lord's pastimes, but these lotus flowers, they are sweet, they are extraordinarily beautiful, and lotus flowers are not affected by the water. They are not affected by the material world. Thus, somehow or other, singing, dancing, and loudly chanting Krishna's holy name, that is our main activity. These devotees are compared to swans, ducks, and bees. The river flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. So, the first initiation is particularly, the essence of it is the chanting of Hare Krishna. On this particular day, the holy name is becoming the first priority in our life. Everything else goes into second place. So it's a huge change from day to night. The holy name was there before, but it was never in the first place. I don't know where it was, number 10, number 7. It went up sometimes on the top of the pops and sometimes down, and it might have even come out of the top 10. But from this day on, it is number one, undisputed, there to remain forever. That is the nature of an initiation. It is Harinam, initiation in the holy name. The spiritual master is always our well-wisher. I saw one of Srila Prabhupada's very early disciples who was not exactly dressed in devotional attire. He was there on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day in Vrindavan on the stage, and he was asked to speak. He was dressed in blue jeans, in a black t-shirt, and a tiger skin vest, and his hair was sort of punkish. Still, he was one of the earliest devotees in this movement. So he was asked to speak. He said, well, there may be some who are not so happy that I'm here on the stage. And that might have been true. He said, but what can I do? I will never leave. I will never go. He said, and the reason is because, he said, of three words that Srila Prabhupada wrote to me in a letter in 1966. So he's building it up, and everyone was saying, what are those three words that Prabhupada wrote in the letter? We were all sort of awake, right? Everyone was there. So what are those three words in that letter that Prabhupada wrote to him that were so powerful that somehow or other he stayed? What were those words? The magic formula. What were those words? Those words were your ever well-wisher. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So the spiritual master is our well-wisher. He has no other intention than to bring us closer to Krishna. It is customary at the time of first initiation, if there's enough time, to give an extensive lecture explaining the 10 offenses in the matter of chanting the holy name. And because these offenses are the main problem. Generally, devotees think that material desires are our problem. If only I didn't have these material desires, then I would be able to apply myself to Krishna consciousness. But my problem are the material desires. They distract me, and I'm struggling very much with them, and what can I do? I have them, and it's the reality, and such is life. Now what to do? But the fact of the matter is that it's not the material desires. It is the offenses against the holy name that is the problem. Because the process of chanting Hare Krishna will easily remove the material desires. But if we commit offenses against the holy name, then the effect of the process is delayed, and thus it will take longer for the material desires to be removed. And if the offenses are of a serious nature, then even new anarthas will be established in the heart, and thus new material desires. So the essence is to avoid the offenses, the 10 offenses against the holy name. I'm not in this lecture going to give a real elaborate explanation on the 10 offenses. But we should be mindful. We should be mindful. So oftentimes, Srila Prabhupada spoke about these 10 offenses and placed some stress on avoiding these offenses. And that is a fact. That must be there. But it must also be known that the spiritual master is already praying for us, already praying to Krishna, please forgive the offenses of my disciple. Somehow or other, overlook them, my dear Lord. He's new. He's trying. Please don't... don't take it too serious. He is sincere. In this way, the spiritual master is in so many ways trying to do everything possible to deliver his disciple. Now that my mind drifted to Vrindavan, to that function where we commemorate Srila Prabhupada annually, I was also thinking of an elderly godbrother of Srila Prabhupada who came and who was at a very advanced age at the time, way in his 90s. And his memory was not working so well. He was speaking more simple than in earlier times. And he basically said the following. He said, Swamiji, referring to Srila Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji, he preached all over the world and he made you all into Vaishnavas. Yes. So he gave us actually quite some credit in one sentence. And then he said, and because you are Vaishnavas, now you please bless me. You can all bless me. And it struck me. I was thinking, yes, at the end of our life, we think about that point. We think about blessings. At the end of our life, we realize that maybe on the strength of our own performance in devotional service, we are not eligible to go back to Godhead. If you're good at calculation, and you can say, like, well, how long have I been a devotee? If it's, let's say, it's 10 years, because it's easy for calculation. Let's say a person would have about 70 years to live, then 10 years is about 15%. Yeah? So so it's 15% of the time is used up. Have we already covered 15% of the difference, of the distance towards Krishna prema? 20 years, now double, 30%, right? Or 25% already covered? Yes. 50, or let's say 30 years in Krishna consciousness. My God, it sounds like a lifetime. Have we already come so close, 75% closer to love of God? It feels like moved at a snail pace, hardly any change. Learned a lot, but love for Krishna, where is it? We can see that Krishna prema is not easily attained. And then what if at the end of life we don't have Krishna prema? Then what will happen? Will we go back to Godhead? Some will say, no way. You will never enter into the spiritual world unless you are 100% pure. 100% pure. Well, you see, yes, but fortunately there is the time of leaving this body, and then there is some mercy of Lord Chaitanya, some mercy of the spiritual master. And that is the bridge, that bridges the gap for going back to Godhead. Thus, at the end of our life, our own service will be judged. But more important is the service of our spiritual master, who is requesting Krishna, please accept him. He didn't do well, but accept him anyway. This is actually how it works. And thus, Srila Prabhupada is praying for all of us and saying, like, please take them all back to Godhead. I know. I know everything. But still, please take them back to Godhead. Then what can Krishna do? Because Prabhupada has done such service, that Krishna has become so indebted, what can he do? When he's asking, all right, let him go. In this case, in the spiritual world. Anyway, we'll purify him on the way. So, mercy is a major factor. And thus, we must look for that mercy. We must therefore always turn to our spiritual master. It's not that the spiritual master should turn to us. We should turn to him.
for shelter. That is it.
If he turns to us, that is causeless mercy.
Undeserved. But we should always, again and again, turn to our spiritual master. With time, it changes because we mature in our life. We get older. Also in Krishna consciousness, we get more experienced in the ways of sadhana bhakti. And our independence gradually grows. And thus, the tendency to become more and more independent is there. But we must continue, always continue to seek shelter. This is the essence, to seek shelter. Traditionally, in the Vedic culture, diksha meant upanayam, or the process of initiation meant to receive the Gayatri mantra and to be, at that point, one was brought closer, upanayam, one was brought closer to the Supreme Lord. This was traditionally, prior to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, the meaning of initiation. But in Lord Chaitanya's movement, initiation is different. Because in Lord Chaitanya's movement, the first initiation is Harinam. It is there where Sambandha, where the connection takes place. It is there where one actually makes the connection. But that connection grows deeper, and one comes closer at the second initiation, Upanayam, that which is the formal diksha. Diksha in our Vaishnava Sampradaya is still different than the Vedic diksha. The Gayatri mantras that we receive are not the same as the traditional Vedic Gayatri mantra. There are many mantras added, which are Pancharatriki mantras from the Narada Pancharatra, which are dealing with Vedic principles which are favorable for the process of cultivating pure devotional service. And thus, within the Gayatri mantras, Pancharatra mantras are also added. So we have like three aspects in our initiations. Harinam, then Vedic Diksha, and then Pancharatrik Diksha. And all that make up the ingredients of the initiations in our line. The second initiation is not an absolute prerequisite for going back to Godhead. Even with just the first one and by sincerely chanting the holy name, one can absolutely return back to Godhead. But the second initiation is not a formality. It is not external. It is a great blessing. Blessing us with a very deep meditation. It gives us a deeper insight through the chanting of the various Gayatri mantras in the nature of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan, or following the entire process of Krishna consciousness from the beginning through the process to bringing it to perfection. It gives us an opportunity to enter into a very deep meditation. And thus, we become more conscious. We become more conscious of the nature of our activity. The focus becomes more clear. And the quality of our spiritual practices comes more to the foreground. The essence of Brahminical behavior is to always associate with the mode of goodness. Srila Prabhupada is
is using this word associating with the mode of goodness. I like that. Instead of saying we must be in the mode of goodness, Prabhupada is saying we should always associate with the mode of goodness as much as possible. And in that way, one can cultivate the mode of goodness. So that is a Brahmin's responsibility. That in his private life, he is associating with the mode of goodness. In his public life, he may have to deal with people who are in ignorance, with situations which are degraded. As a preacher, yes, he can do, but he will not come down from his platform of being the representative of Krishna. So, Brahmin initiation means to be transparent to the will of Krishna. Not following one's own whims, not following one's own mind, not following one's own desires, not following the pushings of one's senses, but acting according to prescribed duty. Thus, the primary requirement is a sense of responsibility. That is the primary qualification. If a person is responsible, very responsible in his nature, then we can award this second initiation. If then additionally he has knowledge of the scriptures, then that will help him to understand better what his responsibility is. Thus, knowledge is certainly an important factor. But knowledge alone is not enough. One can be very learned, but if one doesn't have that sense of responsibility in one's behavior to act according to prescribed duty, then all the learning, what is the benefit? One may know so many slokas, a slok for every occasion. Wonderful. It's a great asset. But take it like this. Imagine we take a cookbook. And yes, we have a devotee in the temple who has memorized 100 recipes. And it is, yes, it is wonderful for parties and festivals to bring this devotee forward and, amazing enough, can quote so many recipes. A pinch of salt and a little grated ginger and so on. And everyone goes, wow, how can he remember all this? This is amazing. 100 preps, who can remember? What amazing that he memorized it all. It entertains us for 5 minutes, but we are more interested in the person who can perfectly cook 10 preparations from the cookbook, if you know what I mean. That's more substantial. Thus, those who live the scriptures are more important than those who merely memorize the scriptures. The scriptures are meant to be applied. Then one is qualified to receive the encouragement of Brahminical initiation, which means a beginning. It is interesting with these initiations, I was thinking about it the other day, that we already act one level above the level where we are. When we are not initiated yet, we have to act as if we are initiated for some time. And only then will we qualify for initiation. After we've received first initiation, we have to immediately start acting according to the level of a brahmana. So it's like from the first initiation on, you have to basically act. There's a new focus. Before the initiation, the focus was, somehow or other, I have to be on the level of 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles, and I have to hang in there. I don't know how, but I have to, and I'm doing, and then I qualify for initiation, and now I got it, right? No. Now it begins. Now immediately, one must, from the day of the first initiation, one must act like a brahmana. And from the day of receiving the Brahminical initiation, one has to act like a pure devotee. That is the next level. Yes.
It takes a little practice. Sometimes we slip out of our role. It does happen. Sometimes we say things that maybe shouldn't be said. My mother used to tell stories, and one story I particularly liked about two princesses, and one, when she spoke, roses would come from the mouth, and the other one, frogs. And in our case, as we are being transformed, so mostly roses, yes, Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Prabhu, except my obeisance, but every once in a while, the inadvertent frog jumps out of our mouth. So, Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Sri Gonitai Ki Jai. So we must be attentive. Thus, if we are not yet on the platform of pure devotional service all the time, then we retreat on the level of the mode of goodness. Below it cannot go. And then again, from there we try and reach up to pure devotional service again and again. This is how a Vaishnava is engaged in Varna Ashram. We are Vaishnava, not Brahmanas, but still we use the Brahminical initiation as a means to develop the qualities of a Brahmana. At least that's the minimum. Minimum. That's not the level where one can stay. That's sort of, all right, minimum level, rest level. But pure devotee is now the meditation and is now what is required. Nothing less. That's actually the meaning. It may have been taken a little cheap at times, but... And one may think, well, that in this lecture I'm maybe overemphasizing the meaning of Brahminical initiation. But that is not a fact. That is not a fact. Because Brahminical initiation means one has to act in knowledge. And knowledge means anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karma dhyana vritam. It means pure devotional service. Anyone who is acting differently is ignorant. He's ignorant. He's just covered. Covered by lust. Avritam jnanam etena. His knowledge is lost. He's covered. So we are looking for this, for this platform. And pure devotional service is not cheap. It has a high price. It has a price of making a special endeavor. That is what I want. But in the mode of goodness, not a special endeavor in the mode of passion. A special endeavor in the mode of passion is where we push ourselves to the breaking point, or where we push ourselves to perform very high, and then reactions follow from exhaustion or whatever cause, and that bring us to a low. No. Pure devotional service must be on a level that can be maintained. It must be maintained. Thus we must learn to pace ourselves in spiritual life so we can maintain a high level of surrender. It is for those who are courageous. It is for those who are ready to be different. It is for those who are ready to be different than most others. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that first initiation must be given generously. When there is an interest, must be given. But second initiation must be given reluctantly. It must be given reluctantly. It must not be given very easily. One has to very much endeavor. So the thread will constantly remind us constantly remind us of the grave responsibility. Well, with this lecture, I have specifically made the main focus of my discussion responsibility. I have outlined the responsibilities for both initiates. And it is great. So there is an element of gravity in the matter. We have to be grave. We have to be very serious about the responsibility. And yet, we must also, we operate on joy. Right? We operate on taking shelter in the wonderful process. I mean, yesterday, so much thought was there in the darshan. I really liked it to see Sita Ram with a Satbhuj picture in the back, you know, sort of showing everyone the connection between Lord Ramachandra and Lord Chaitanya. I thought, oh, that is very nice. There's a lot of philosophy there. It's not just just decoration, but there is also a message. So I liked it very much that there was so much of a message in the darshan. So very good. Very, very good. Because we can take shelter of, in this way, the pujari is offering us shelter, is reminding us who we are dealing with, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, by the mercy of the devotees, it's not something abstract, it's something very practical, the mercy of the devotees. One devotee is throughout his spiritual life just serious about book distribution. And thus, such a devotee always stands there to remind us. Book distribution. Okay, book distribution. Like that. And the years go by and times change and people's services change, but some just stay there. Book distribution. Book distribution. Okay, all right. You see, they become like the incarnation of book distribution, right? A walking memorial of book distribution, a source of inspiration. That is mercy. That is mercy. Thus, each of the Vaishnavas, through their service, through the service they perform, are bestowing their mercy upon us. Just so many examples we can see. We can see many examples how the service of the Vaishnava is instilling in us the faith to follow, to also try. If they can do it, then I can at least do a little. And in this way, we follow the Vaishnavas and by their mercy are finding great inspiration and support. Durgame patimendasya skalat padagatir mohu yat kripa svastidanina santa santavalambanam. My path is very difficult. My feet are slipping again and again. But by the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas for my support, I can remain on the spiritual path. And that's how it is. Somehow or other, life, while you are in it, it seems to take a long time. Right? When you go through the motions of life, it seems to last forever. While we are going through the motions of life, it seems to last forever. And then when we reflect for a moment, then we see my life went by in a snap. Right? It's already gone. Almost. Right? This is how it is. So, it is interesting how we have this twofold experience. That on the one hand, life takes so long, and on the other side, it flies by. And it is. So with the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas, we can carry on over time. Because over time, we realize more and more that we are dependent. We are dependent on all the mercy we can get.